just let me start with this invocation to our sacred season. Let's just be here in a spirit of joy and a spirit of prayer and hope for better things to come in the next year, but gratitude that we made it through this one, and with all the negativity or catastrophe that could have happened, it didn't, at least not for most of us in this community. We are seeing many people in other countries suffering terribly, and our prayers go out to them, most especially in this season. Many of them are not Christian, but they are all children of God. And we pray for our brothers and sisters everywhere and for the life that they created and the families that depend upon them, the friends that support them, and their hope for a better future. I just want to say one thing in the beginning. I would like to see us take Yeshua's phrase, love your enemies, a little bit more seriously than we have in the past. When we find that there are hurtful things going on in the world, we tend to respond with comments that confirm the hurt that was caused. Because I suppose we feel we need to alert our fellow man to the fact that this hurt is happening. Maybe, hopefully, somebody can do something about it. But right now, I'm feeling it's bad enough that the hurt is happening. Why not throw a little love into it? Why not be with the love that is in everyone, even though it may be quite buried and hidden? It's probably buried and hidden beneath a great deal of hurt. And more hurt is not going to bring it out. We need to be in a season of love now. And I know that we have taken, that not you and I, I'm not saying we as in our community, but our nation has pretty much considered China a source of challenge and contention, if not outrage and hostility. But they are suffering, and they're concealing it. Some of it is getting out to the news, but there are whole cities held in lockdown. Some buildings are being held in lockdown. And to the degree one building, one high-rise apartment building burned down, and they let the people burn inside. It's really horrible what's happening in some places, my friends. And we need to pray love into it, because really, as our human family, we have no enemies. Whatever is their problem that is causing them to behave like an enemy is their hurt. We have no enemies. And I think that's one of the things that made our country so great for so long, is we did not view the rest of the world as an enemy. We really didn't. This began to change in World War I and then World War II and the Vietnam War, when we became, well, kind of like the policemen of the world, as if it was really our duty, our business. We should have been the love agent of the world, because that's what made us great. And restoring that spirit will make us great again. We need to remember the love and the love that other people need that causes them to do some of these horrible things that then we put on the billboard as horrible things. Hate these people. Well, don't do that. Don't do that. It won't make it any better. It won't solve our problem. It won't get any of us out of the ditch. We will get out together, and we will get out together because we love one another, and that's it. So let's hold that spirit in the spirit of Christmas and what Christmas means, and do the same with each other and with yourself. If you're hurting, instead of saying, what's wrong with me, you could say, what do I need to do to make this feel better? What should I change in order to get past this? Pain is inevitable at times in life. And sometimes, I suppose the hurt that comes from conflict is inevitable. But it's not inevitable to suffer and hold on to it. It is so much better and so much in the spirit of Christ's teaching to get on with life. And, you know, forgiving doesn't mean saying, okay, well, you're right. I should never have felt this way about what you did. That's not what forgiving is. Forgiving, it's up to God to say what's right and wrong. We are not the judge. We're not here to judge one another. But forgiving is letting go. That's all it means. That is the literal translation of the word. It means let go. Someone hurt you, let go, so that something better can come next. It's as simple as that, my friends. It really is. Letting go. So we're going to invite our callers to come online. Let us know how you're doing or what you need, because we're here for you. And we're here for you no matter what your thoughts are, what your opinions are. We respect them. And we're here to be a community, to love and respect one another. So, Nancy, who's first?
We are ready. Okay, let's see. Our first caller is area code 808.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, it's Diana.
Hello.
I guess I need help with like a physical body illness situation.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old, but I haven't had my menstrual cycle in 5 years, and I finally got an ultrasound, and turns out I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I really need help with healing that so I could be fertile and have kids one day, but also just to be balanced. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, we can help you with anything, because there's no limitation to what God can do. So we're just holding in place that the wholeness of who you are will take care of this. Because everything that occurs that's out of, shall we say, out of integrity with your wholeness,
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, can be resolved by restoring your wholeness. So we're going to pray for that. You can be whole again. You can be right with your age. And ready to move on to what the next stage is in your life. There are many stages to life, and we don't all reach those stages at the same chronological age.
Yeah.
And so, you know, set the calendar aside. Everybody, I'm encouraging you to put the calendar. You're not on that calendar. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, I think, one of the duties and work of my generation is to be the first generation that really strongly denounced the calendar. And that doesn't mean we're all going to live to be 100 or 110. It just means that whatever age we live to is our real age and not mm-hmm. what's on the calendar. Because the only way we can create a better wholeness that extends indefinitely in the future is to be the wholeness that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And yeah, I understand. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just had a second follow-up thing. More like a concern. So I'm in medical school now, and I still have 5 more years. And that gap feels, like, pretty enormous to me because it's so grueling. And I would love more than anything to be a doctor now and to help people, but I guess so, just love support and getting through school.
Oh, well, first of all, congratulations that you got where you are. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And we really appreciate the courage and the dedication that it takes. Oh, I've had friends who went through medical school, and I can tell you, it's, you already know, it's tough. It's tough, but I know also, many of us also know, and we so respect you for that. And keep it up. You can do it. You can do it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know you can. And the more you know that you can, the more all the little challenges will just fly away. They'll say to themselves, we'll go bother somebody else. You know, that's what's happened through my life. I've gone through some tough things too. Not medical school, but my own version of it. And when I say to the hardships, hey, you can stay if you want to, but you're not going to stop me. They just say, oh, shoot. Well, let's go bother somebody else.
Okay. Thank you so much, Glenda.
It really is true. And the same thing also works for people that you want to kind of think of as an enemy or at least a pest. Okay. You say, well, go ahead, do what you do. I'm just going to keep on doing what I do. When they know they can't get a hook in you, they'll go hook somebody else. All of these forces that try to block us in life are 100% parasitical. And no parasite can exist without a hook into us, without a hook into you. And, you know, Yeshua's answer was well, get behind me, go away. You know, he just brushed him off. Keep doing what he did. And fear nothing.
Fear nothing.
Because you, the soul that you are, you, the child of God that you are, absolutely cannot be stopped.
Right.
You can't be.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you
so much.
Just
remember that. You're welcome.
I will. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for calling. We belong to the kingdom, so it's our spiritual nature to be humble. Excuse me. We have, I don't have a name, but I have area 949.
Yeah. This is Trina.
Trina, hi.
Hey. This is the first time here, and I also have some allergies, a blood sugar problem, and some past trauma from childhood. And I'm like, I can be motivated, then I cannot be motivated, I get depressed, and then I'm happy. So it's affecting me, and I'm holding on to stuff instead of getting rid of it and clearing out stuff. So I don't feel connected as I used to do with God, and I desperately want to be connected again.
We can help you with that. We will hold you in our heart in the blessing. We will pray for you. And we'll give you encouragement that it's only an illusion that you have that you're not connected to God. He is never disconnected from you. Never. And that's a promise. And you will discover this from time to time. But part of why you don't see it is because others connected to you are very connected to you because they're getting energy from you. All the world, and I'm talking about world, I'm not talking about earth. The world is very full of needy connections that try to put straws and hooks into anyone who has potential to feed them. And unfortunately, people that we knew in our youth or in years before actually are maintaining a negative connection deliberately, because for them, any connection is better than no connection, because they were drawing energy from you. They were taking spirit from you. And they would rather have a bad connection as no connection. And you're looking at it and you're saying, why do I have to have this hurtful connection still with me? I don't want it. Well, the reason you don't want it is because you're getting nothing from them. Okay? And they're getting something from you. When you recognize that, it will help you let go. And when you are surrounded by drinking straws of all sorts, drinking into your spirit, your soul, your body, your emotions, your history, it's really hard for you to feel connected to God. But it's not hard for Him to be connected to you. He is, He always will be, and is always available for you to come home. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, "Oh Lord, take me home. I just want to be with you." And you'll be surprised how many of the drinking straws let go because they're afraid of their Creator. They're afraid. And you're not. That's what separates the difference. That's what creates the shift right there. You love God. You're not afraid of God. They are. And a big difference occurs, and a big shift occurs. And by that, I'm not saying that any of these people, entities, or events of your past are in and of themselves bad. I'm not judging them. I'm not saying they're bad. But they are drawing on you, or you wouldn't be feeling the way you're feeling. And we have a really bad habit as human beings of drawing on each other without permission. And it would be so much easier to draw upon our own innate source of power, of spirit, and well-being, and the power and spirit of God. It would be so much easier, so much more beneficial. But right now, that's not happening for a lot of people. So you just have to take care of yourself and be aware of this. Try to be aware of it without judgment. Just say, "Look, you do your thing. I'm going to be with God because He's the one that loves me. And I love Him." When you begin to see the healing and the miracles that come from that, you really will love God.
And that would help with all the financial trouble I've been through lately, and problem with the water problem, all the stuff with the house. It just feels like everything's coming to, it's coming, so it's a clearing, maybe?
It will be if you just let go of it. It will be a big clearing.
Let go. How do you let go?
Well, you start by not thinking about it. Put your thoughts on something positive. Put your love on something that you really do love. Take your thoughts off of old things you once loved, but they're not right for you anymore. People who are not right in your life anymore, or events that are not nurturing you, or accomplishments that mean nothing to you anymore. Put your attention on the future.
Follow life in the living, right, Glenda?
You bet. Follow life in the living. Love.
Okay, so that
forgive.
Love.
Put your attention on life.
Let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah,
there's a chapter in Love Without End called Pathways to Success. That
right.
would answer just about everything you're asking, my dear.
It really would.
And letting go means letting go of stuff in the house, too, that is no longer serving me. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And bring happiness.
Absolutely. Oh, I can tell you, I have been in my new home. Well, it's not a new home, but it's new for me. I've been here about 9 months now, and I am still packing up boxes to take to Goodwill because I brought things here. I went through a terrible suffering, terrible loss the 3 years before, and I brought things here because I wasn't ready to let go of them. And it's not to say that any part of that was bad, but they were part of a past that no longer is active in my life, and it would just weigh me down, remind me of old things that are now gone. And I had to just pass it on. And you know, I had a great wardrobe because for years and years and years I traveled and was a public speaker. And I had things hanging in my closet. I thought, you know, I'm going to get back to doing that. These are beautiful. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make somebody's Christmas really special. I'm going to give these away. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would ever give that level of clothing away. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, I just may make somebody's Christmas. And that brought such a great cheer to my heart. And just, it gave me the thought, you know, that's the way these clothes will live on, not the hanging in my closet.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's what I needed to hear.
Good.
Perfect.
Good. And just bring new blessings into your life, because they're out there, but you've got to make room for it. You know, if you want to put more water in a bucket, you've got to empty the water that's already in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of an old adage, but it never gets tired of being true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very true with our mind, very true with our heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
just because you loved someone a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you stopped loving them by just letting them have their new life, you getting into your new life, and you're still connected somewhere in the universe. You'll meet them again and love them all over again. But for now, you need to fill your bucket with somebody who's going to bring joy into your life.
Mm-hmm. I have a good husband. It's just other people I need to bring in.
Mm, good. Good. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing to have a life partner who is, I mean, you got it half whipped out right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you so much. This was, I don't know how to say it, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And don't go away. Hang around for the blessing and the prayer, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. We'll get into
that. Thank you, Trina. We're so glad you called in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Glenda, we have Robert's line open.
Well, that's going to be Tina. So we go from Tina.
Oh, hi. Hi, Tina. There you are.
Yeah. It's so good to be here. Blessings to all. I'm so happy. I forgot what I wanted to say. Yeah, I wanted to give gratitude and connect and things going well as far as I know. But this is kind of what I wanted to ask for, a blessing. For trusting my guidance, even it seems so crazy lately, you know, and the changes I'm going through, my perception, and I'm hearing so many voices in my head sometimes, and so it's a little bit unusual, but yeah, I wanted to ask for a blessing for me to be able to really just trust and don't think about things too much and just follow the flow. Sometimes difficult, you know. Because I change my mind a lot, what I do next, but that's okay too, you know.
So, of course it is.
I guess a peace of mind I'm asking for. Peace of mind and trust that I might really trust my guidance. Because it sometimes seems really crazy, but then it's not really, you know. It's just my mind that interferes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that makes sense.
Okay. I'm gonna answer in a way that I think it's going to apply to everyone. It certainly does to me and most of my friends, just about everyone I personally know. And that is that most people in our life want to help. And they are so helpful. They will chirp in and give you advice and ideas. And, well, why don't you do this? How about doing that? But that doesn't get limited to just the people you physically know. Pardon me, like your family. It also has to do with spiritual connections you have in the world that come in like voices in your mind that say, oh, wow, look over there. oh, you know, that would be so great for you. And then, oh, let's think about this. Let's think about that. The thing is, Tina, everybody wants to help. And when you're asking for help, you sometimes open the door to people who, with the greatest of love, are just projecting into you what would be good for them. And it doesn't have, really doesn't have much relevance for you or your life. And I would, the Holy Spirit does not come to you that way. These are actually connections you have with people in the world, and they're coming through to you spiritually. And it could be with the greatest affection and love. You know, when I would say, I'll give you an example. When I knew that I had to leave my previous home, I had called to people all the time wanting me to move close to where they are. All over the country, even the world. Can you come? You've got to come here. I'm going to go find a house for you. I want you to come here. It never ends. Yeah. And then in my sleep, I would wake up and someone say, oh, no, you got to do this. I opened myself up. And with the greatest of love, I was getting all kinds of messages that I had to stop listening to because I had to get back to reality. One of the things that the Holy Spirit brings to you is actually exactly what you're asking for, peace of mind. The Holy Spirit does not bring to you confusion or many options or many good things that just contradict. That's not the Holy Spirit coming to you. The Holy Spirit comes to you and surrounds you with peace and then speaks to you through actual, real possibilities and probabilities of what you should do next in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of your Father. So just imagine that your Father could be elevated to the level of the divine, where not only would you have the love of your Father, but it would always be correct, okay? You know, our earthly Father, they try their best, but sometimes they have their projections also. You know, they want this, they want that. But they're loving. But there's something special about a Father that no matter what he says, he's thinking about his child, and the child comes first. There's something just wonderful about Father. I just so respect and admire all of them for that. For giving the little humanness that can be there also. But that fatherly love is awesome. Well, the Holy Spirit brings that fatherly love in its purest and most perfect form. And it's not going to sound like your best friend. It's not going to sound like your husband or your child or, you know, your neighbor. It's not going to sound human to you. It's going to sound divine to you and extremely peaceful. So look for that. And I would suggest that you thank at all of these voices, that you thank them all, because every single one is trying to help you. They know you need help, and they're trying to. They're trying their best, and they're giving their heart to you. And that's okay. But you got to have to do the bond. Because you've got to do what's right for you, Tina.
Yeah, and not what the leprechaun thinks.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Even it's so nice to play with them. Okay. It makes so much sense, Glenda. So much sense. Thank you so much. I just kind of really needed to hear that, you know.
I think we all did. Yeah.
Good. Well, you know, we all want to be loved. And when we get these voices of love come in, we turn around and we try to take them seriously. Because, you know, love is a precious thing in any form it comes. But there's a point when you just have. Can you just imagine how many pressures Yeshua had to contend with that would drive him to go out to the desert to be out there to be a alone to just get his own connection with the Father. And then, of course, of all demons that would follow him, he'd turn around and say, Satan, go home. Get out of here. I don't want you either. So, you know.
It's up to me, you know, I'm still getting it now. Thank you so much, because I just have to be clear, you know, what I want and what I don't want, and you know, and be
that's right.
My boundaries. And
that's
yeah.
exactly right. You got it.
And maybe the essential oil, maybe the serenity is such a good one. I haven't used that forever. Peace. Or,
you know, serenity would be great.
Yeah, I think I want that in my house now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
And God bless you, Tina. You know, you are so full of life and love and creative spirit. You really, really don't have anything to worry about, Tina. Don't be afraid. It's just that, you know, you want to love everybody back. And that's good that you do. That's a tribute to your spirit that you want that. Mm-hmm. But in times of decision, you got to be really with yourself and with God
mm-hmm.
and the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit. You do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is true for everyone who's in a healing modality. You go see a doctor and you respect his knowledge and you're cultivating his opinion, or you wouldn't have gone. But he puts a little pressure on you to do this or that. And so maybe then you'll go get a second opinion. Or maybe you'll get an opinion from a naturopathic healer or, you know, a hands-on healer, a prayer healer, and priests. And then, of course, you ask your friends, well, what did you do when you had this, let's just say, sinus infection? What did you do for it? And you ask somebody else, well, what did you do for it? Pretty soon, you've got an atmosphere surrounding you of about 20 opinions. And
mm-hmm.
all you really need to do is ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the answers inside. And I apologize, Tina, if it sounds like I'm preaching just to you, because I'm not. This is a message for all of us, including myself. Okay? I had to clear this really, really well in order to get through all the things I was suffering,
mm.
just to get ready for the seminar, and before
you
that,
know,
to get ready for a move. You got to get back. You got to get back to the truth.
Kendra, may I say something? I hope that this maybe helps everyone too. You know, when I go into my heart, into a meditation, it's like I always go through a layer of spirits that surround me, like my parents that have passed, and they're always around, you know, and I always have to go through by them to go deeper. It's almost like crossing, that's how, what I have a lot, you know, and it's sometimes really distracting. You know, sometimes I get distracted on my way into my heart by
mm-hmm.
whom I'm meeting on the way. That's just how it is for me, you know? And I go, why do I
Tina, that is the way it is for everyone. It's just not everybody notices it.
I tell you, I know.
You are so alert to this. You notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But just notice it and keep going. Don't get distracted by it.
Say, hi, don't talk to me now. Why would you talk to me now? I'm not talking to you now. I'm going into my heart now. I want to talk to Yeshua only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And at some point, words won't even be necessary. You'll just, like, give them a loving smile and keep going.
Oh, thank you so much. It makes me feel that this is normal. And I don't, and this, everything's okay. And I just.
It is normal. It really
so
is.
I feel already so clear now. Wonderful.
Good. All right, dear. And you are just fine. You're doing great with your life, and just keep on going.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Nancy,
I'm here.
Hi. Well, okay.
I'd like to ask a blessing.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you.
Well, today is my mom's birthday, and she lived with us for a while before she passed 6 years ago. She would be 91 today, and I just feel like she's, I don't know what she's doing, but it's something fun, and just wanted to send a gratitude blessing just, you know, to her from all of us, all the kids we've all been, there's 11 of us, and we've all been texting back and forth with funny things that we say and blessing mom today. So thanks, mom, for bringing the crazy brood you brought in. You know, she was something. And when she died, I think she had 42 grandkids and something like 20-something greats at the time. And, of course, it's still growing. But she was an inspiration, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. You know, that's really, she deserves a gold cup for that. She does.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we used to call her a saint all the time. So. Well, thanks.
Oh, well, God bless
everyone.
Her. And
she's
off the calendar for sure. She's in.
Yeah.
She's in infinite time. And enjoying every minute of it.
Her name was Barbara, so thanks, everybody, for throwing a little love and thought her way and keeping her in the blessing today.
I remember meeting your mother, and I remember the sweetness of her voice. I'll never forget her.
I know. Thank you. Well, I just love everything that everybody shared. It's just really helping us all. I can just feel it through the community. There's a lot of, you know, wonderful folks here today. Everybody's wonderful. And we do have another caller, Glenda. Shall I open his line?
Absolutely.
Okay, we have Ken.
Hello, Glenda. Hello, Nancy. This is Ken. I'm living in California. And even though if I don't necessarily attend every call, I really try to get the recordings afterwards because I love listening to the comments and everything, and sometimes it's a little easier to listen to things later at night than during the middle of the day when things are a little crazy. But I just personally want to thank you for everything you're doing here. And, you know, I love the comment of, you know, that we're all, obviously that we're all kind of God's children, and we're all kind of maybe a saint in disguise. And a lot of times I feel like my saintliness has gotten a little tarnished. You know, I got to dust it off every now and then, and maybe that's kind of what these calls are for. And,
yeah.
You know, I really appreciate just the comments of, I'll just call it the task of making it a regular practice every day to really go inside and just say, who am I? What am I? Where am I? Who are you? What am I supposed to be here? How is all this stuff supposed to work out? And just how am I, what's the state of mind that I need to have to continually keep the mindset of one step forward, as opposed to getting lost and not knowing where you're going, and many
uh-huh.
times feeling like you're falling backwards. And I find that when I get into that, when I forget how to ask that question, it's really terrifying. I mean, it really brings up a lot of fear.
Yes, it does.
And yeah, and so the task is to kind of make it, for me, to make it a general part of my practice so that the practice is joyful, even though I know that what that practice may reveal may be threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, totally, totally, completely, because you're restoring your presence in the world and getting rid of any illusion that the world might have created you. It's like Yeshua said to everyone when he was in this, walking on this earth. He said, I am in the world, but I am not of the world. And he taught us how to shine our light to diminish the illusions that cast upon us lots of ideas that really don't have any bearing on our lives. They really don't, or suggestions that will have no benefit. And even if they come from sources of love, they're probably illusional, because the truth lies within you. The truth lies in your original primal state of being. And what we see in the world is we could say it's reliable reality, but rarely is it the truth. Rarely. So we kind of start with reliable reality, and then we go downhill into total illusion. And we got to pull ourselves out of that every day. Every day.
You know, it's really interesting you talk about illusion, because, I mean, I always think of the world of fact and the world of fiction. And, you know, even when we go to a library, we're deceived, because how are library books classified, fiction or nonfiction? Well, where's the book of fact? You know?
Exactly.
And so it's kind of like those, you know, those kind of mystery movies you see sometimes, where somebody walks into a house of mirrors and you see faces all over the place, but they're not real. They're not the real person. And so, you know, at some point you either just have to say, enough with the reflections, enough with the mirrors, enough with the noise, enough with the distraction. Let's just cut to the chase. Let's just burn it down and start again.
Absolutely. Totally. You nailed it. I mean, really, you did. You did. And in relation to what we're talking about right now, you and I, I'm going to bring back a reference point from the Bible. And I know, I truly believe that underneath every phrase in the Bible is truth. It is. The foundation is truth. Even though sometimes it's cast into metaphor, it's cast into, you know, stories or historical reflections of the past or analogies. Even though there is truth there, it has been a diligent, courageous commitment of men and women for thousands of years to convey what they knew to be the truth. Okay, that having been said as a preface, doesn't matter how you take the outer covering of the book of Genesis, whether you say, oh, that's literal, it's analogy, it's fiction, it doesn't matter. Underneath it all is the truth that's being conveyed forward. And what we find there in that is that there were seven stages of creation, and they actually pretty much parallel the cosmological scientific progression of the creation of the universe. The burst of light, the Big Bang, the creation of the metaphor, which is the fundamental particle structure of the universe. It goes on. It goes in stages that parallel cosmological science as closely as it could have been paralleled by ancient understanding. Okay, so we get to the sixth day, and God says, I want to create a creature that can hold the cup of pure consciousness. The consciousness I breathe in to that creature. And on that sixth day, humans were created. And we were put into an environment that was sufficiently supplied and pure in its nature that it could support our constitution and who we are. Being quite satisfied with that being done, our Heavenly Father rested. And there is no mention in the entire panorama of creation that the world was created. Because the world was created after humankind left the pure environment that was originally created for our support. We went out and we created the world. Meaning, it's all illusion. Everything in the world is illusion. But that doesn't mean the substructure of the earth is illusion. It doesn't mean the substructure of life is illusion. It doesn't mean the principles of integrity are illusion. It just means this stuff, this organization we call nations or we call laws or community or whatever, it's all illusion. Our economic system is illusion. You know, you could literally get lost in that illusion if you tried to take on what's happening currently to try to make the economic system balance out, work, move into the future. And it's the worst joke in the world. I almost said jerk. I think I was led intentionally to say that because it's really, really a very corrupt illusion. And everything in the world is an illusion. So that's where you draw the line. Nothing God created is illusion. The world is illusion, and it was created after God rested. He left it alone to see what we would do with it, and that's what we did with it. That's what we're, and that's what Yeshua came to pull us out of, and that was what the prophets predicted would eventually be the, you know what's going to hit the fan, because the illusions we created are not going to hold up to the test of time. They're just going to become increasingly complex until they explode or implode or some combination of both. And that's what we're looking at right now and trying to say, well, how can we progress in this? And Yeshua's answer was very simple. His answer was, my friends, it's all about you being who you were created to be. It's not about the world. It's about you. It's about you being the love that you are. It's about you rediscovering yourself. It's about you reestablishing your connection with your Heavenly Father. It's about you living the life you want to live. That's the right life for you. You can't fix the world. You can't. And we find this repeated in a very poignant way in the book of Matthew. The night that Yeshua was going to be arrested, the apostles were assembled after the Last Supper, and they were sitting around asking Yeshua different things, and he was talking to them. And Mary comes with a jar, an alabaster jar with spikenard, and she comes to anoint the feet of Yeshua. She knew something really, really challenging was about to happen to him. No one knew yet how he would handle it, what he would do with it. But he knew the only answer was be myself. He knew that was the only answer. He was tempted by all kinds of requests. They would say, well, you're strong. You could command the world. You could just conquer the soldiers. You could send them away. Just take charge and do it. There were all kinds of ideas coming into him, swirling around. And he just went for his peace. Mary recognized that. She bathed his feet with the spikenard. And Judas had a very strong reaction to that. He rebuked Mary for doing that. He said, Mary, why are you doing that? That spikenard could have been a year's wages for someone, for a family. Why did you waste that? And Yeshua rebuked him. And he said, Judas, you will always have the poor with you. Me, you have for this evening. In other words, he called the solution for his predicament back to himself. He was the answer for his predicament. And Mary hadn't caught that. She knew. She bathed his feet to strengthen him in facing what he needed to face. And why would he say, Judas, you will always have the poor with you? Was he forecasting something terrible for the bulk of humanity? Never, never would he forecast that. But what he did know is that all of their troubles were created by the world. By the world. And as long as we live in the world, there will be suffering people. You can blame, you can absolutely, totally blame it on the world. It's the confluence of unworkable ideas, conflicting with each other, competing for which one can dominate, when all of them, every single one of them, are wrong. As long as that's going on, we will not have heaven on earth. We will have people hurting. We will have wars. He said there will always be, there will be wars or rumors of wars. It's the world that creates those. Yeshua knew he was the answer to his predicament. And he just had to go through whatever he had to go through. And the end point was he was restored to his immortal existence. Well, the same is true for all of us. Rediscover yourself every morning of your life. What you said, Ken, was perfect. Just have the courage every day to rediscover who you are, because that's the answer for your day.
One other thing that came on up as you're talking is that so much of our ability to see illusions as real, it all depends upon our frame of reference. And I'm a bit of a kind of a scientist and a mathematician, and so I'm always looking at whatever I'm seeing as what's the frame of reference of this thing. Is it a matter of its age in minutes, days, years, you know, decades, or is it in a frame of reference of eternity? And so when I take that moment and I go inside of myself, I can look at myself as saying, I'm so many years old and I have this life and I've got this family and da 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 da, my bloodline, whatever. Or I can say, there was a moment when I didn't exist, and there was a moment when I was born into existence, my being. But something brought me into that moment of being. So there was something that pre-existed me. And when I can cross that threshold and go into the state of mind of that which preceded me, then all of a sudden, that frame of reference, it completely eclipses anything that I see in the world around me. And as you say, you know, yes, all of the craziness and the horrors in the world that we see around us, they are very much in the world. And yet that place of existence of that which preceded us is always around at the same time. But it takes a deliberate, conscious act to call it in, to say, hello, who are you? Where are you? I would like to talk with you. I would like for us to be together. And at that moment, now all of a sudden, that boundary of what preceded me versus me disappears. That barrier is gone. And then it's like, that's the truth that I see that really comes alive.
That's a very good way of saying it, Ken.
Yeah.
And if I could add just a little bit of spice to that, and that is that Nothing preceded you. You preceded Kim. Kim was added onto you for an experience, for a duration of living. You preceded Kim, and you will exceed Kim. Right now, it's you and Kim. Let me give everybody a very simple distinction between truth and illusion. Truth is forever. It never changes. Truth never changes. All illusion has an expiration date. Glinda has an expiration date. The soul that is propelling the life of Glinda will never end. The same with Yeshua. The same with John the Baptist. His head was presented on a platter, but the soul was not. And the soul lives on and preceded that event and his life. In fact, Yeshua, in the womb, asked to go and meet John in the womb, and they visited each other in the womb, which means they knew each other even before they were conceived. And I'm sure they are together even now, post-conception, post their mortal life. Anything that's mortal, and you know this as a scientist, anything that's mortal has an expiration date. And it has a beginning date. But the truth that underwrites its existence is there to be activated and enlivened again and again and again. God does not change. The truth does not change. Illusions are forever changing. And I would just generally say this to anyone. If everything in your life, in your mind, is constantly changing through the day, you might take a look at the illusionary nature of it all and be quiet enough and alone enough and peaceful enough to invoke the truth. And Ken's way of doing it is a great way to do it. I would highly recommend that. But Ken, you know what? You and I have gone on quite a while, and we've still got three more people who need to ask for a blessing. So
let me throw in a name or two for a blessing, because there are some people that I would like to put out. One is there's some very big challenges we have coming up this holiday season. So one for myself, one for a special friend, Maria, her son, Jonathan, my sister, Cindy, and my cousin, Al.
Okay, good. Yeah. I've got the names on my list. All right.
Thank you so much, Glinda.
You're welcome.
Well, Ken, you definitely inspired the community, because we do have more callers. So that's
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I would definitely recommend to everybody to read the second chapter in Keys of Yeshua, Recovering the Authentic Self. It's not really long, but I'll tell you, every time you read it, something new is revealed, and it's really good to read before Easter. It really is, and so just as a gift for yourself. But we have, Anne, your line is open.
Hello, Anne.
Hello,
Anne, we can.
Hi, can you hear me? Oh,
yeah,
yay.
We can now.
Awesome. Quick question. You said, was it chapter 2? Is that from Love Without End, or is that
no.
From another one?
Keys of Yeshua.
Okay, all right. I need to get that book. Thank you so much for this gathering. I just found out about it today. I'm from Tennessee now, formerly Austin, Texas. And I'm actually on vacation in Uruguay, and so I'm calling you from Uruguay. And I love the book, and just really felt it answered a lot of questions and touched my heart in a really special way. So I'm really grateful for the book, and I'm grateful to have an opportunity to ask for a blessing. I guess I have succumbed to some illusion, and I've had some challenges with my relationship with my mother. We have been planning to buy a house together, but we had a conflict. I don't want to go into the conflict, but just say that it's put a real strain on the relationship, and I'm really questioning whether I really can be the fullest person I want to be living with her. And so, anyway, I really like a blessing to just have some clarity around how to really be in love, be in a place of love within myself around this whole situation, and open to a miracle where whatever happens to us, we were able to connect through love.
Okay, great. Love will do it. and just be in the truth that the two of you have held together in the creation of life together. Sometimes people form their alliances with us to help them perpetuate their illusions. Their illusion is getting thin, whatever it might be. It could be the illusion of a career, the illusion of living in a certain place, the illusion of being young when all of a sudden age is creeping up on us. And we try to form relationships to bolster up illusions that are becoming a little bit shaky for us at the moment. Well, those are relationships that are going to be full of trouble. They will be full of trouble. The relations that we have that are based on the truth we hold with another person will be living and strong and enduring and probably last through a lifetime. And it's a good way to evaluate any realities and negotiations we have with our colleagues, our friends, our family, and our truest loved ones. Is this about the truth, or is it about illusion? Okay, Anne. Well, God bless you, and I'm so glad you're here. It's really nice to meet you. And thanks for calling in all the way from Uruguay. We love that. And now hang on. Be here for the prayer and the blessing, okay?
Thank you. Yes, I will. This is wonderful.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you so much. Let's see, Glenda, we're moving along here. Eva, happy Sunday. We're glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to... I think it was last week that I asked for a blessing for the estate sale of my sister. And I just want to let you know that everything went really well for my niece. All of the parcels of the properties, the farmland, went for higher than they were estimated to go, the appraisal, which was very good because now she and her husband can have the parts of the place that meant the most to them without having to pay anything extra for it. At least that's the plan, and we think that's what's going to happen. So that will be very nice for them. Mm-hmm. They'll have the bayou.
Thank you, God.
And part of the river where they fish, and some of the parts that are not farmland, but yet mean a lot to them. So I want to thanks for the blessings. And, of course, I'm also wanting more blessings to get rid of this ailment that I've been having for such a long time. And the pain is lessening, but I still haven't gotten up to, back to being able to get out and communicate the way I want to be and drive again and all that kind of thing. So, blessings for that, for myself, and to trust
you're
all
gonna
these
get
things
that
you've been talking about.
We'll get that too. Sometimes healing will take longer than we think it should.
Yes, you have been mentioning that, and I'm waiting for it to hurry up, but it doesn't hurry up.
Well, you're already feeling some positive good in your life, so be grateful for that, Eva.
Yes, I need to be grateful, even though even though I'm hurting at times.
That's right.
So
that's
yeah,
right.
That's
gratitude
true.
Is a miracle in itself because it sees everything already given and done.
Yes, that's the hard part to remember and believe when things seem like they're not going right. But
that's right.
Yeah,
gratitude reinforces the truth because God has only given good things, and when we're in pain, that tends to reinforce illusion.
Yes.
So
yes.
Be grateful. See it done.
And there's so many good things that you talked about, and the people that are on the call it was just sort of exceptional today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
was really inspired by what everyone said.
Yeah.
Just a great. Well, Eva, we have one more caller, and we need to get into our blessing call.
Yes.
We're already.
Thank you, Eva.
Sure,
we love hearing from you. Bless you and your family.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay. Our last caller is Carolyn. Hi, Caroline.
Hi. Well, I'll get straight to the point. Thank you, everyone. Two blessings I'd like. One for my dear friend David, who is undergoing radiation right now on the East Coast for prostate cancer. And so a blessing for him. And the second one is a blessing for my friend Alan Clements, who is an amazing guy. He did a lot of work dealing with Aung San Suu Kyi, which he's now imprisoned in Burma. But he is faced with pretty much a terminal illness that could cause his death at any time, and he is currently looking for a place to live, and hoping that he's going to be able to hang in there and live a little longer to be able to spend time with his daughter. So this is Alan. Please give him blessings for being able to stay on this earth longer and blessings for finding a good place to live where he can actually have his daughter come and visit. He's here on Maui right now. That's Alan Clements. So that's it. Those are the two blessings I'm asking for.
They're in my heart, and I know they're in the heart of God. So we're going to ask on their behalf.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for coming on board, Carolyn. We always love hearing from you.
Yes, I love you all.
I love you.
Well, Nancy, I think it's about time.
It is.
We're kind of overdue. But we had good things to share, so it's all good. So now, everybody, just relax. Find that quiet, still place where it's just you with you. This place where you come and you surrender to the part of you that never left God. The part of you that is always home. This is your home base, to be in the state of peace, in the state of glorious promise for all that has been given, all that has been promised, all that you ever can and will be. You're there. You are the seed. You are the seed for all the becoming of your life. Now, just be there, surrounded by the light, the quiet, the peace. And let's relax our body by just shaking out. Shake out your arms and shake out your legs so all the tension is gone, especially around your shoulders and your elbows, your knees. Oh, take a deep, deep, relaxing breath, the kind you just blow out. You take it in and you blow it out, and it's like, oh, that feels good. Because actually what happens is we hold our breath more than we know we do. We do. We don't even think about it. Because any little tiny bit of stress will cause us to hold our breath. And that breaks the rhythm of our breath. It's not that you can't hold it for a few seconds or a minute or even a couple of minutes, you could. But it's not good for you. And it interrupts the rhythm of your breath. There's something about that rhythm that's just as important as the breath itself, because it's your rhythm of life. And so Yeshua has given to me, to give to you, the understanding of what we're calling the four square breath, because we're going to create a little box with four sides to it. And as we go through it, we're going to go out one side, across the other, and then back up one side and across to the first side. Now, what we're doing is you're going to count to four, but it's your count of four, not mine. That's why I won't count for you, because I might count too fast or too slow or not quite right for your rhythm. But you're going to exhale. Counting the release of your breath to the count of four. Now just pause and allow that breath to drift around in the room, in the air, until it's picked up by the gases in the room or outside or the environment it belongs to. As you count to four on that, then take a deep breath back to yourself on the count of four. And hold that breath on the count of four until you have perfectly and fully absorbed it. That's your return breath. And as soon as you've absorbed it, you're furnished with breath to give again. So give again to the count of four. And allow it to be received to the count of four. And then call it back to you again to the count of four. And assimilate it into your body to the count of four. Now continue doing this, and you don't have to be controlled about anything other than just your mindful awareness of your breath. That mindful awareness of breath is almost the same as your mindful awareness of living, of being alive, because what is life? The breath. And the sharing of breath, the receiving of breath, and the utilization of breath. Be in that four square breath as I offer a prayer to Yeshua. O Lord, Holy One, our perfect brother, our friend, our guide, our teacher, and the one who stands to light the way for our path in life. We begin with gratitude for all the ways you've helped us when we didn't even know. For being there with a light on our path when it would have been dark. For bringing to us the opportunities that are right and correct when we are uncertain of what to do or where to go or where to turn for help. Thank you for walking the way with us. For going all the way with us. That we may be the self that we are without beginning or end. Letting go just a little bit of our over-focus upon this mortal existence, which really only needs food and air and companionship and a purpose for living. But certainly not all the stress or the agony we pour into it. Help us to be the person we are without years on any calendar, without any agonies or regrets, able to let go and embrace a new life every day. Thank you for giving us the courage to be that, to be more than we thought we could be. You taught us that, and thank you for helping us learn it, the most powerful lesson of our life. And now, as we receive our blessings from you, we ask that we become a blessing to the world. And we ask blessings for those who don't know to ask. We ask for them. We ask for the children. We ask for the lonely. We ask for those stuck in conflict and trials and tribulations. We ask for release of their soul, that they may find a greater and a higher way through what they're passing through, that they may be ennobled by it instead of injured by it, that their soul may triumph. We ask for those who are passing from mortal life into eternal life, that they may know how welcomed they will be in the palaces of heaven. Now we ask that you be with those who have asked for blessings and those who ask with their heart in silence and came like children in faith to receive all that you can offer. We know that you're with us, and we offer our gratitude in advance for all that you will give. In your holy name we come and ask for your blessing. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and receive it. The first thing you do is you go lie down for at least 7 minutes. And don't think of anything. Don't even continue your prayer. Just be a blank slate. Open to the handwriting of God. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to seeing you here next week.